This is the sermon from April 19, 2026. Sermon text is John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. When people make up their own gods, it seems like they end up in one of two terrible places, usually. On the one hand, you get gods that are indifferent or impersonal. They're so far removed from humanity that you can't ever really know them. For example, Islam, with a god who is so great and so other that you don't actually ever get to know him, right? You don't ever know Allah as a Muslim. You know his prophet, Muhammad. That's the closest you can get. Also, perhaps consider our elevation of money or knowledge. We don't call these things gods, but we put our trust in them. We trust them to give us good things. But the thing is, the dollars in your bank account and the information in medical or scientific journals, it literally cannot care about you at all. On the other hand, you can get gods that are so like humans that they even end up being flawed like humans, right? These are gods, not that you can't know, but gods that you wish you didn't know. In the ancient days, you had, you know, the pantheons of Greek or Egyptian mythology with gods that were petty and cruel and sometimes just outright disgusting. And these used humans as their playthings. Or today, think about Mormonism, where men literally become gods, which means that the gods that are out there were once sinful, and therefore they're not eternally perfect. Plus, there's also countless gods out there, so by definition, none of them can be all-powerful, including our God, whatever he is. The thing is, with whatever false god you choose, you're going to have problems, right? Big eternal problems. You're not going to want to, or you're not going to be able to know your God. But we have the true God, right? The God whose power and glory and wisdom are far beyond our understanding, and yet who came and walked as one of us. He's the God who is so like us that he truly did take on human nature, becoming an actual flesh and blood man, and yet still remained holy, perfect, without our corruption, without our sin, right? Still fully God. Our God is the Good Shepherd, the God who is both much greater than his sheep and yet who loves his sheep and wants to be with them. As he tells us, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." So what does it mean that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows us? The big thing we need to point out first is that this is much more than just intellectual knowledge. When Jesus says that he knows his own, this doesn't mean that he just has a huge amount of facts and trivia memorized about all people. I mean, to be sure, he does know everything. He's God. The Bible tells us, for example, that he constantly knows even the number of hairs on our heads. But that isn't just trivia to impress us, to really, wow, God is very smart. Right? There's more to it. Now, when Jesus says that he knows his people, right, the Good Shepherd knows his sheep, it's a much fuller sense of the word know. Remember, Jesus first spoke these words to Jews in Jerusalem, including Pharisees, among others. And so they would have heard that word know in its Old Testament biblical sense. You might recall from the Old Testament that knowing is how it's described when a husband and wife come together. Right? This knowing entails connection, closeness, experience even. This is how Jesus knows his people. And we see this knowing actually in three ways. The first is that this knowing involves love, specifically a sacrificial love. The very first thing that Jesus says about being the Good Shepherd is this: the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That seems bizarre, maybe even backwards, right? A shepherd is typically in the sheep business to make a living, not to give up his life. And the sheep are all being raised to die at some point or another, right? Either as sacrifice or as, you know, food. So why would you die for them? The only thing that would lead a good shepherd to do this is love for his sheep. He values them not just for whatever price a sheep will fetch at the market, right? He values them because they are his. He knows them, each of them by name. Again, he knows the hairs on our heads. That's not just there as impressive trivia. It's there to show us how much care and concern God has for us at every moment of every day, that he keeps watch over us even closer than we ourselves. In addition to this, remember Christ's wonderful words about his love. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did not lay down his life for just some animals, lesser creatures. He laid down his life for those he calls friends, those whom he loves. That's you. We see this love leading to a second element in how Jesus knows us and we know him. He opens himself up to us. Again, many false gods are far off. They're unknowable. They remain near complete mysteries to those who would serve or worship them. But not our God. The Good Shepherd speaks to his sheep. He tells us about who he is, about who he made us to be, about what he has done for us. He recounts for us many of the wonderful things he's done in the past, and he gives us promises for the even more wonderful things that he has in store for us in the future. Does this mean we completely understand everything about our God? Well, no. No, there are some things that God has not revealed to us, things that perhaps would just confuse us, which we couldn't rightly handle. And there are other things that he has revealed to us that we cannot fully wrap our minds around, things we take on faith, his triune existence, for example. But this is where the image of the shepherd and the sheep can be helpful. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd. The sheep do not have a grasp of the language that he speaks. They don't know what every word their shepherd speaks means, but they do know his voice. They know that this one, he's the one who keeps them safe, that brings them to good pastures and still waters, who even picks them up and carries them on his shoulders. They follow the shepherd's voice because they know that that will bring them to the shepherd, and then to all the good things that the shepherd does for them. In the same way, we follow the voice of Jesus, the word of God, which leads us to him. His word contains many things that, by his grace, we are able to understand. But even when there are things that we don't understand, the Holy Spirit is still at work to teach us his voice. He works through that word to increase our faith, so that, like the sheep, we would know and trust that the Good Shepherd is the one who gives us every good thing. Knowing the Good Shepherd through his voice, his word, this then leads to the third way in which our Lord's knowing us is demonstrated. Through his word, he brings us to him. Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." Jesus doesn't speak his word so that his sheep hear it, think, "I really like that sound," and then go on their way. Nor is he like one of the false gods who supposedly made the earth but then only comes back every now and again to check in and see how things are going. No, through his voice, Jesus gathers his sheep together around him. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep. He loves his sheep. He wants to be with his sheep. God created humanity to be with him, to receive his love and reflect it back to him, to share in his peace and goodness. That's why we're here. That's why you exist, to be with God. Now, our sin broke this, right? It brought separation between us and our loving God. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, he has atoned for that sin and made it possible for us to be with him again. Our Lord desires us to be with him in paradise, just like he said to the repentant thief on the cross. And what is it that makes paradise to be paradise? And there's many, many good things about it, but the main thing is that it's what God tells us in his word. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Heaven is heaven, paradise is paradise, because there we will be in the immediate presence of God, right? The fullness of his splendor and glory and goodness just washing over us continually. Knowing God in such a way for all eternity, that is the best thing that can happen to a person. And it's what God desires for each and every person. That's why he begins the process of gathering us to himself now, in this life. Like we spoke about last week, with Jesus appearing to the disciples as they were gathered together and giving them his peace, right? Jesus is still doing this today. The Good Shepherd is gathering his sheep, right? Bringing them together as they follow his voice into his church. Note that Jesus doesn't go and get each sheep and then just keep it separate, right? Keep them all individually. The Christian life is not just me and Jesus. It's rather being gathered into the church, right? The fellowship of believers. Jesus says, "So there will be one flock, one shepherd." That one flock is the one holy Christian and apostolic church that we confess in the creed. It isn't the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. It isn't Christ Lutheran Church Rollins, Wyoming, right? That one flock is all those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's the great invisible church throughout all the world. And yet, while it might be invisible, it does have things that can be observed. You can see the places where the flock is being gathered. Jesus says that they will listen to my voice. Where there are people gathered around Christ who hear, keep his word, that is the flock of God. Our Lord gathers us together around his word so that we might know him as he knows us. He's present with us, especially in his supper, where we receive that life that he laid down for us. Through his word, the voice of the Good Shepherd, he reveals himself to us, both letting us better know him with our minds and, even more so, better believe in him with our hearts. In all this, our Lord lets us know his eternal, unchanging love for us, the love that brought him, the shepherd, to lay down his life for the sheep. Our God is the Good Shepherd. He is the only God who can truly say, "I know my own, and my own know me." In the name of Jesus, amen.